One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're not alone.
What does that mean?
Look over your shoulder.
Oh, God. It's a special guest.
It's a special guest this week.
I'm special.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have special guest Joel B. New with us today.
Welcome, Joel.
Thanks, Shannon and Scott, for having me on Song Salad.
You?
So official. We did not give him a script.
No.
You might recognize Joel's voice from the promo that we ran last week at the end of our episode for his upcoming album. No, his upcoming, oh my God. His podcast.
Yes.
Something new.
Thank you.
I was like, I was thinking about Cabot Cove.
I had
it in my head, and I was like, album. No.
Mm-mm. No.
You can edit around that.
You might need to say that again.
You can edit around that.
Okay. So, Joel, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and why we brought you here today.
All right. Cool. Well, first of all, I'm so excited to be here on your show. I'm a huge fan of Song Salad. I've been listening since the very beginning.
Aww.
I'm a huge fan. So I think the premise is really cool, and I think you're very talented and nice people.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Joel.
Yeah.
And that's why we had him on. Thanks, bye.
Bye.
You can leave now.
Bye, guys. Yeah. Worth the trip.
Yeah. All the way from Brooklyn.
Hour and a half trip from Brooklyn.
To Harlem.
So worth it.
Yeah.
My name is Joel B. New. I am a musical theater songwriter. I also produce a podcast, which is called Something New. And I'm just wrapping up my fifth season doing that.
That's a lot more seasons than we've had.
That's amazing. Yes.
And how many episodes total is that?
Almost. At the end of the season, it'll be 100 episodes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
Congrats.
Great.
Thank you very much.
That's a feat.
I'm very proud of it. So what I do is I interview theater artists that do more than one thing. So that's a performer who also dabbles in photography, or a casting director who also works in genealogy. You know, it's...
Cool.
It's quite a wide net, but it allows me the opportunity to talk to artists about these other passions of theirs that they may not necessarily get to talk about very much.
Mm-hmm.
And these other pathways feed their souls, feed their stomachs. And it's just my way of letting people know it's okay to say yes to these other impulses.
Cool.
Like saying yes over here doesn't mean that you're saying no to this other thing.
Right.
And then at the end of the episode, I write a brand new song for them, and we premiere it.
That's so cool.
It's a good time.
That is very cool. So if you are into new song podcasts, which I assume you are because you're listening to this, you should check out Something New.
Yes, please.
With Joel B. New.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Joel, you and I have worked together
yes.
on a bunch of projects.
Huge Scott Mossman fan.
Thanks. And one of the things that Joel and I worked on was an album called Cabot Cove that Joel wrote and produced and sang, and I got to do some arrangements and orchestrations on. And one of the songs, we talked about having a sort of Max Martin feel to it.
It's true. I'm a huge Max Martin fan.
So we wanted to bring you on today to be the expert on the quote-unquote genre of Max Martin and tell our listeners about his work and his cultural impact, and
oh
then we'll
God.
Try to write a song in a random topic in the style of Max Martin.
Because that's what we do at Song Salad. We write a new song about a random topic in a random style of music.
Yeah, I am so honored to be someone who is going to be considered an expert on Max Martin.
You're an expert in, like, I mean, by comparison to us, everyone is an expert in something. So,
what a way to lift me up.
Yeah. It's a low bar. You can sail right over.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah. So here's what I know about Max Martin to start. Sounds like Mary Martin. That's it. That's it.
They're related. It's crazy.
Wait, no.
No, they're not.
Oh, God. You really got me for a second.
Yeah, yeah. We're just doing a whole episode in the style of Peter Pan.
So. Yes. So I know literally nothing about Max Martin. So could you, like, place me in time when we're talking about Max Martin?
Absolutely. Well, Max Martin, to contextualize, is a songwriter and producer. He is Swedish. Mm. His real name is Carl Martin Sandberg.
Interesting.
And okay. He goes by Max Martin.
Huh.
And he's been writing pop songs for a couple of decades now. And I first became aware of him, it was like 1998, 1999.
Mm-hmm. Good years.
Very good years. I was the breadstick boy at a fast food place.
We'll talk more about that later.
Well, I was in fourth and fifth grade.
Oh, my God. Oh, you young things.
Yeah, 10 and 11 years old.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Anyway, so now back to back to my exciting.
So aside from breadsticks.
Yes. I was listening to Max Martin songs unknowingly. Songs like, he did a lot of songs for Britney Spears.
Never heard of her.
NSYNC.
Who?
Backstreet Boys.
Nope.
You're making me feel older.
No, I'm kidding. I'm definitely kidding. Yeah. I had a Britney Spears poster on my wall.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
Oh,
you did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of skeevish for a straight guy to have one, isn't it?
Not when you're 10.
All right.
Well,
which photo?
Like,
was her midriff showing?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a specific, like, was it the schoolgirl outfit?
It was the schoolgirl outfit. Yeah.
See, Josh was apparently a Jessica Simpson guy.
Oh, really?
You kind of had to choose.
Yeah.
Like, you were team, it was like, you know, team Edward, team Jacob. Like, you had to choose.
Right.
You had to choose and where your nascent sexual identity was coming from. And,
and team NSYNC. Those were my teams.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was also team NSYNC, so.
Good. Yes. Good. We're on the same page.
I was team Backstreet.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh.
Not actually.
Weird little anecdote. I went to the very first Britney tour,
ooh,
her Baby One More Time tour, back when she had like not enough songs to make a full concert. So she was doing covers as well. Like, she did a lot of Madonna. Let's see, but I'll never forget. This is so silly. I had a deviated septum, mm-hmm, and I just had surgery for that. It was called a septoplasty or something like that?
No idea.
Anyway, I had like a bandage over my nose. And
saddest little breadstick boy.
Little bandage breadstick boy.
Such a beautiful picture. And I had hair at the time, and it was blonde and like spiky.
Yeah.
Which looked very similar to like Lance Bass's haircut. Mm.
Sure,
NSYNC,
sure.
Back mm-hmm in the day. And these little girls, we were my sister and I were walking to our seats. These little girls thought I was Lance Bass.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And asked me if they could have my autograph.
Huh.
And when I tell this story to other people, I'm like, and I totally gave it to them, but I didn't. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not Lance Bass. Like, I just want to be real with your listeners.
I'm just a young breadstick boy who's had plastic surgery so that he looks more like Lance Bass. Is probably what you looked like at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we have gotten so off topic.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
So Max Martin wrote songs for those huge late 90s, early 2000s artists.
Yeah, huge songs like I Want It That Way.
Awesome. Mm,
Baby One More Time. Mm-hmm. It's My Life. Mm-hmm. Bon Jovi.
Yep. We're familiar.
Okay, great. Great.
We recently did an episode where the topic was list of songs of Bon Jovi.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I missed that
and
one.
And the genre was industrial metal.
That's
amazing. That is amazing. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah.
Dying on a Prayer.
Dying
if you
on a
check
Prayer
that
is
out.
What the episode is. Yep.
Amazing. So he also wrote like early Kelly Clarkson stuff, like straight off of American Idol.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, a lot of her first album, Since You've Been Gone, Behind These Hazel Eyes. Mm. Later, did a lot of work for Katy Perry, Avril Lavigne, Pink, Taylor Swift. So he basically makes up my entire late teens and early 20s.
Obviously it's all pop. But I feel like it's a pretty wide range.
Sure. There's some diversity of style in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was listening to, I made a little Max Martin playlist to listen to on the way here just to kind of get into the
prepared
groove of it. And as I said, like, I'm team NSYNC. So right. I don't know a lot of like the deep cuts of Backstreet Boys, which he wrote. And I was listening to it on the train, and the consistencies, like, they really do line up. It's like, oh, at this point, at this like minute mark, this happened.
Oh. Wow.
And like, it's crazy.
So impressive. What are some of the, like, walk us through, like, if you're going to be listening to a Max Martin song, what are some of the things that like you'll always hear?
Yeah. The Max Martin formula.
Yeah. Well, I'll first say, like, this is like specifically late 90s, early aughts. Like, sure. He's gone on to create more, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole any writer.
Right.
But let's pigeonhole Max Martin. I would say, and this is so nerdy stuff, his song length is almost always 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'm going to write things down.
Yeah.
Three minutes. You can hear my pen.
It's real. It's not a Foley artist.
30.
We hired a Foley artist to do the pen work in this episode. Song structure, I would say, is almost consistently verse chorus. It's a very pop standard.
Very pop.
He is one that I think started to heavily use the pre-chorus.
Mm.
Do we need to talk about what that is?
I think we touched on it on earlier episodes, but a brief explanation.
It's that little bridge between the verse and when you're getting ready for the chorus, which is the whole point of a pop song, is the chorus.
Right.
And so it's that little bridge, that little rev up.
Right.
The chorus hype man, if you will.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Usually shorter than the length of either the verse or the chorus.
Yeah. But he uses the pre-chorus pretty heavily throughout his career. The bridge, though, in the verse chorus of his, it's not always like a real bridge. Sometimes it's a real bridge, maybe like 4 measures, 8 measures, something like that. But usually it's like a dance break.
Or
because this is also like late 90s, early aughts. This is like MTV making the video.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to think. Have we ever put a dance break into a Song Salad song?
Not purposely.
Well, today's the day.
Yeah, today is the day.
Yes, I want a dance break.
And then someday we'll make a music video to accompany it.
Oh, God. So just like a pre-chorus, a bridge is this sort of like alt section almost in between, like to kind of, well, literally bridge the two halves of the song, kind of.
Yeah, it's like a palate cleanser, I would say.
Right. Break up the repetition a little bit. And sometimes bridges lead into key changes where you have the verse chorus again at the end of the song in a new exciting key or new amped up arrangement. So.
Cool.
So a dance break, sometimes it's a talk break.
Ooh. Ooh, we could combine those.
We are very good at talk breaks, I will say, at Song Salad. We do a lot of patter in our songs. Cool.
This is also usually the section, because I'm specifically thinking about like his up-tempos.
Sure.
You know, he's definitely done some great ballads as well.
Mm-hmm.
Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely. Like, that's definitely a ballad. But when his songs are, like, amped up, like Baby One More Time or Since You've Been Gone, like, the bridge is kind of that moment where the bottom drops out.
Ah, yes.
Drive Me Crazy, specifically the Stop remix.
Ooh.
Where it just gets all very quiet. It's like, ooh, stop! And then the song starts again.
Yeah.
Cool. I hope people know what I'm talking about.
I love a good stop in the middle of a song. Yeah.
And it's the Stop remix, specifically for that moment.
That's awesome.
Like the bottom drops out and then revs up again.
Cool.
Sometimes he's done, like in Baby One More Time, he does this trick where the bridge is like, it's actually a trick and it's actually a descant for the chorus, but you don't know it's a descant yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a counter. It's a counter melody and a counter lyric to that complements the chorus. So when you put them on top of each other, it's really cool. So yeah. Baby, one more time.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're through with the bridge, which there isn't one. There's just a little dance break where she does like a backflip back when she was bendy.
Yeah.
And she so then it starts going, my loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
I must confess, my loneliness is killing me now. Don't you know I still believe? And you put that on top of the chorus, and they complement each other. It's contrapuntally.
Ooh, yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
And we actually talked about Hocket last week.
We did.
Which this sort of is a similar idea where it's filling in the holes of the other melody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
So sometimes that's his bridge work.
Cool. Okay.
His bridge work, his dental bridge work. The songs often end like a huge slam button.
Ooh, cool.
Or the song is like revving up and it's like got that big double chorus at the end and it's like getting bigger and louder and crazier. Mm-hmm. And then like the very last word is like just by itself.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Like,
the
not
drama.
That innocent. Yeah.
Silence. Exactly. Or just like, it's gonna be me. Like that's.
Yes. Yeah.
Which we're gonna talk about very shortly.
Awesome.
Tonality, almost all of them are in minor keys.
Cool. Oh,
interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Especially like his up tempos, like his pop up tempos.
Right. Gives it that kind of edge.
Edge. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Lyrical themes.
Helpful.
Excellent. Yes, great. So helpful. More than we usually get.
Big change from last week.
I know. Yes.
Well, it's like all pop music, especially back then. It's either Take Me Back or I'm Better Off Without You.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's literally on the album Millennium by Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yeah. Millennium. Yeah.
Millennium. Literally, there's a song called Don't Want You Back. And then there's another song on the same album, also written by Max Martin, called Don't Want to Lose You Now. On the same album.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it is. Some other things. I call it a girl world.
Okay.
Where girl and world rhyme.
Ah.
In this world.
Okay.
These are in perfect rhymes.
Cool.
I hate the girl world rhyme. But if you're writing pop songs, it's a thing.
Well, I am, if it ain't slant, I don't. Pants. I don't have a good rhyme. Crap! I needed a good slant.
That was such a good opportunity.
If I don't slant, if it don't slant, I
can't.
I just can't. I just cannot.
Amazing.
Anyway, so I am. Great. I love Girl World. I will.
There's no judgment on the Girl World. In fact, like the older I get, the more I'm like. You can bend the rule.
Yeah, sure. You know? There's a world for girl world.
Totally.
Awesome.
That's challenge doing accepted. Fine.
Yeah.
Let's see. Excessive use of the word baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about your love interest. Vocal fry.
Let's talk about that.
Can we talk about vocal
fry?
Yeah,
let's talk about that. I don't think we've ever talked about it on Song Salad.
Hot takes on vocal fry. Here we go.
Welcome to Joel's Fry Corner.
So, home fries. So this is...
Breadstick. It's a very carby episode.
Really,
yeah.
Hey, you gotta have some bread with your salad.
Yeah.
Getting more bloated just thinking about it. vocal fry is that quality of vocalness where you're letting... It's just like you're kind of like grating the vocal cords, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit of that...
Right.
So, like, you would be talking like this instead of talking up here like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not really growling. It's more just like letting it all hang out.
Yeah.
This is good radio.
It's like hangover voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-coffee.
Uh-huh. And people would sing that way?
Oh, yes. Or they would lead into things like, oh, baby.
Ah, sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, that kind of
yes. Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
So vocal fry, guy, girl, especially girls. And this is one of my favorite Max Martin things is how he says the word me in his songs.
Ah.
It's pronounced May.
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 It's going to be May.
Always. And is that more than just that one song?
It's across the board.
I never really noticed that.
Yes. If you listen to early Britney Spears, early NSYNC, early Backstreet, like his pure pop, teen pop, like it's May consistently.
I wonder if that's a Swedish thing.
Might be.
Is that just his accent? And everyone was like, I guess we'll do it his way.
It's just on the demo that he like sends them and they're like, all right.
I think it's because it's a more pleasant sound to sustain than gonna be me.
Exactly. Like, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, true. I love that so much.
That's great.
We can try to work in a May.
Please. At least
have
one.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of babies in a May.
Babies, girl world, May.
On the list.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Yes.
What about instrumentation?
Yes. So I have less of a vocab for this, but I'll give you some stuff.
Sure.
Max Martin, he's very melody driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like in in interviews that I've read on him, like, it's always melody first.
Okay.
There's always, like, a memorable lick in sure. the guitar or the bass. Like, the first 10 seconds of Baby One More Time, you know you're about to listen to that song when you hear, ba-da-dum.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of his songs have that little hook that bridges between verses and choruses. Like, there's just that thing.
Short, memorable, little melodic moment.
He likes the wah-wah guitar. The wah-wah-wah.
The wah-chicka-wah guitar.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The, like, funky, sexadelic guitar.
Yeah, the kind of 70s sound on the guitar, but, you know, paired with other less 70s instruments, it doesn't stick out as much.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's surprisingly a funky writer. Like, he, one article called his bass lines, like, white funk.
Huh. Swedish funk.
Which, yeah, I guess if you take it apart, white funk, I buy it. You know, synth, heavy synth.
Mm-hmm.
Good use of backing vocals.
Oh, love that.
There are very select moments in, like, Baby One More Time where it's, like, just her voice.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in the pre-chorus, like, there's backup vocals. The chorus is almost all back vocals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always, like, that support. The beat, of course, is very important.
Gotta have a beat.
Gotta have a
danceable beat.
And then, this is another weird thing. It's, I call it that whir up and slam sound.
Ah.
It's like that whoopsh, like that thing.
Yeah.
Those are
actually called risers and boomers in the world of electronic music.
Yeah.
So the riser and then the boomer.
Well, he uses that a lot.
Cool. Can do.
Check and check.
Excellent.
So if there was one quintessential Max Martin song that we should play a sample of as an example, which do you think is our best representation to give the audience?
Oops, I Did It Again.
Oops, I Did It Again. Sung by the one and only Jessica Simpson. Here it is.
You see, my problem is this. I'm dreaming away. Wishing that heroes they truly exist. I cry watching the days. Can't you see I'm a fool in so many ways? But to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Baby, oops, I did it again. I played with your.
Time to get our topic.
Ah, so exciting.
Yes.
This changes everything.
Yeah, so everything you just heard Joel say could potentially just go right out the window.
Right.
When we get our topic, depending on what it is. whenever we get a random topic, we spin the salad spinner to find out what it is as we hit the random button on Wikipedia. And today's salad spinner comes from
Josh Jellin at Jay Jellin.
Thank you, Josh Jellin.
He says, time to show all the kids how up I am on the current trends by suggesting that the salad spinner sounds like a fidget spinner.
Great.
I don't have one. Never
I don't,
used one.
No.
I don't have one either. Joel, do you want to help us out with the salad spinner this week?
I mean, it just sounds like a child wasting time.
Spin!
Spin!
Perfect.
Ooh. Interesting.
Okay.
Huh. William McIlroy. Secularist.
Bill, if you will.
Yeah. William J. Bill McIlroy. McIlroy?
I'd say McIlroy, maybe.
McIlroy. Okay. Was a British secularist, an atheist activist, writer, an editor, and he doesn't know it, but star of a pop song. That's right.
Born in 1928, died in 2013. For many years, he was the editor of The Free Thinker and general secretary of the National Secular Society. In 2005, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the NSS for 50 years of service to the secularist movement.
So just like right off the top of your head, Joel, like how amazingly applicable is this to late 90s, early 2000s pop?
Like it's almost like the phrase "I want you back" like feels very different. like God, I want you back.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
ooh. Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Or maybe I don't want you back.
I don't want you back.
Yeah, God, yeah. I don't.
Like, I'm stronger than yesterday without you.
I never wanted you in the first place.
My Lord and Savior. Yes.
Awesome.
Born in Northern Ireland, he later lived in Coventry, London, and Sheffield. His wife, Margaret, with whom he had two daughters, predeceased him, dying from multiple sclerosis. William McIlroy lived independently in Brighton for the last 15 years of his life before being diagnosed with cancer in 2012.
It's comedy gold.
Okay. So it kind of sounds like the Free Thinker was about exposing religion's hypocrisy or just things that, he thought didn't make sense. So, for example, he would run stories like nun running scandal hits the Vatican about a nun running racket from the poverty-stricken Indian state of Kerala to meet a shortage of Catholic nuns.
He also, I guess, was pretty active in protecting free speech, specifically protesting the trial of the editor and publishers of a magazine called Gay News. Mm. He also protested the threat to Salman Rushdie over the Satanic Verses. Mm-hmm. And he was the keynote speaker at the inaugural meeting of the Gay Humanist Group, which became the Gay and Lesbian Humanist Association. Huh. Check out the Free Thinker.
Always taken an unapologetically atheist, anti-religious stance, which are different things.
Yeah.
The Free Thinker is an anti-Christian organ and must therefore be chiefly aggressive.
Huh.
It will wage relentless war against superstition in general and against Christian superstition in particular. It will do its best to employ the resources of science, scholarship, philosophy, and ethics against the claims of the Bible as a divine revelation. And it will not scruple, I love that word, to employ for the same purposes any weapons of ridicule or sarcasm that may be borrowed from the armory of common sense. Laying down the law.
Woo.
Wait, it will not scruple to employ for the same purpose any... Oh, so he's saying, I'll fuck with ridicule and sarcasm, is what he's saying. Right?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So...
Scruple.
Scruple is a great word to sing.
Scruple.
Scruple. With the vocal fry.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do a late 90s, early 2000s, Max Martin-style boy group song about a famous British secularist slash atheist.
Outstanding.
Real song salad, just like right in that groove,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's right for us.
Yeah.
Delicious.
All right, well, let's do a little more research and get some lyric ideas going. I'll start to build my group of instruments, and we'll...
And Joel's going to help us.
And Joel's going to help
us. I'm so excited.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All right, so I was working on putting together all the sounds and instruments we need, and Shannon and Joel were furiously writing lyrics and laughing to themselves.
Yes, so we were.
It's way too much fun.
Yeah.
Tell me, guys, what your concept became for this song.
So, as Joel mentioned, a lot of these songs focus on either I want you back or I don't want you back.
Sure.
And I think that, and at first we talked about like, okay, well, maybe it should be the atheist guy saying like, I don't want you. But then we're like, no, but what's better than that? Is a song from the perspective of God, who is like, no, baby, please come back. So that's what we landed on.
Yes, that's where we found ourselves.
I love it.
Yeah.
Go.
So here we go.
Tell me the lyrics.
All right, here we are. And this is a lot longer than most of our songs, I would say.
Well, we got to try to hit that 3:30 mark.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're not going to quite get it.
No.
So here's the verse. Judas gave his traitor's kiss, and thrice St. Pete denied May. But there's lots of Mays.
A lot of Mays.
Promise fulfilled.
It's amazing.
But
I get it.
But this hurts more than all the times the holy warriors cried May. Something made you question us. Yes, something made us weak. Cause I read in the Free Thinker, ooh, you're calling me a creep. So we got some slant rhymes in there
good.
Too.
That's good.
And then here's the pre-chorus. This is courtesy of Joel's brain. So it's so good. Pre-chorus. Oh, like a mass exodus, how could you exit us? And here's our chorus. Oh, me, damn it. Billy Baby, did I lose you? Move heaven and earth, part the seas till I see you. Oh, me, damn it. Start a plague just to kill you. Send a flood as a prank. Build an ark to impress you. Let this be my last, last supper without you.
Wow.
So good.
And then we'll go into a little spoken word breakdown, the word of the Lord. The bridge, you don't believe in me, but I believe in us. And to myself, I pray, oh, May, oh, May. then we go back into the chorus and we'll have a cool descant there.
Nice.
And then our little like outro, the way Joel mentioned that some of these kind of like end on like a spoken line or like something that ends like kind of quietly. May the Lord be with you and also with you.
And also with May.
And also with May.
That's fantastic. Good work, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It was really fun to have. I mean, obviously, I usually don't have anybody to like bounce ideas off of and stuff. And to have Joel just
have
be like
collaborators.
A font of religious puns was like super awesome. Thank you. That.
You know, if there's one thing I'm good at.
Religious puns.
It's religious puns.
We'll have you back as an expert on religious puns.
Great.
For a topic sometime.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Cool. So tell us about your. Oh, well, we need a title.
We do need a title.
We do need a title.
And I didn't think of a title yet, but I have thought of a name for the boy group.
Oh.
What is it?
Trinity. And it'll be three voices.
Amazing.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Yes.
There probably is a Christian boy group called Trinity.
100,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So title. Let's see.
I think title, like, I think Oh Me Damn It is funny.
It's good.
I also think Last Last Supper or like The Last Last Supper is good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Last Last Supper is kind of like the hook, it's right? The end hook. Of the chorus. And that's usually what the songs are named after. So I think, I mean, Oh Me Damn It's good too. I don't know. What do you like better?
It could also be the last parentheses Last Supper, which is like also a very popular song naming convention. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
The last parentheses, last supper.
That's it. That's our title.
Love it.
Brilliant.
Cool. So Trinity's music production here is going to be a synth bass sound and also a like slap electric bass sound like we heard in the example song of Oops, I Did It Again. Synthesizer, which is known as a pad, which kind of just provides a little background tonality that's sustained without being like a, too much of a presence in the track, just kind of providing what the chord should be in the background. Another more lead synth sound that sounds kind of bell-like and chimey and is very evocative of that era. Some wah guitar, like we talked about.
Waddle.
Exactly.
That was very good.
That's our example. Yeah. Those riser and boomer effects of those like sweeps up and down and like the big drops.
Joel could not get enough of the risers and boomers.
Oh, we're putting them everywhere.
Yeah.
Pretty fun, funky beat, electronic drum beat with some processed sounding like hi-hat toppers. So like that very high pitch like sound above it. And lastly, some orchestra hit sounds, which are kind of got their start in the 80s, but kept going through the 90s and the early 2000s, especially through the songs of Max Martin. And then something fun as a surprise in the breakdown. So that's what we got.
All right. So this is...
The Last Supper. A Max Martin-style song about William McIlroy...
By Trinity.
By Shannon and Scott and Joel.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Williams. Ooh, yeah. Judas gave his traitors kiss, and thrice St. Pete denied me. But this hurts more than all the times the holy warriors cried.
Something made you question us. Yeah, something made us weak. Cause I read in the Freethinker, you're calling me a creep.
Oh, like a mass exodus. How could you exit us?
Oh, May, damn it. Heaven and earth, part the seas till I see you.
Oh, May, damn it.
Start a plague just to kill you.
Send a flood as a prank.
Build an ark to impress you.
Let this be my last supper without you.
The word of the Lord.
Yeah. All right.
Son, bully, ghost.
Last supper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, May.
You don't believe in me, but I believe in us. And to myself I pray.
Oh, May.
Oh, May.
Oh, May, damn it.
Are you staying?
Really, baby, did I lose you?
Move heaven and earth,
part the seas till I see you.
Oh, May, damn it.
Are you staying?
Start a plague just to kill you.
Send a flood as a prank.
Build an ark to impress you.
Let this be my last supper without you.
May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
So.
Oh, boy.
That was that.
Oh, boy, you
it's
guys.
It's a thing. Oh, boy band.
Oh, boy. Oh, Trinity. That was so good.
That's, I'd say that's probably not Trinity's, like, hit single, but it's on an album.
It's like the second or third single.
It's on there. It's on there on that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's someone's favorite track.
It's my favorite track.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I've been waiting for the day where I could, like, do more of my vocal fry and my authority on Britney-isms.
And it's hard to make the vocal fry sound purposeful and, like, cool.
As opposed to, like, the effortless vocal fry or, like...
Yeah,
like
I mean, just, like, I don't know. From when I do it, I feel like it sounds labored. You know what I mean?
Well, we should probably just, like... smoke a couple packs a day and it'll get better.
Yeah,
it's true.
Wonderful job.
You guys, this was awesome.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
It was so fun to play with you guys and watch how you guys work and work so quickly in the same room and just make an awesome thing together so quickly.
Thanks.
Very inspiring. And
thank you for being so involved in the process, too.
Yeah, we getting in the sandbox with us is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fast-paced. And
most guests we've had in the past have just sung the song, but haven't been involved in the creation of it. So this was cool.
Yeah,
oh, it was such a treat. Thank you guys for having me.
And if you want more of Joel, and why wouldn't you? You can check out his podcast, Something New,
on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the things. And buy my album, Cabot Cove.
Hey, I second that.
Yes.
That's available on Amazon.
Amazon, iTunes.
Wait, can we talk about like the concept of the album though? Because
yeah,
it's great.
Please. Huh.
So it's a collection of what I call theater pop songs, and all
theater pop,
theater. Man, I'm tired of singing. never gets old to me. So all the song titles are also titles of books that Angela Lansbury's character wrote on the TV show Murder, She Wrote.
Mm-hmm. It's great. So that's great.
The Corpse Danced to Midnight, Dirge for a Dead Dachshund, Murder in a Minor Key. It's really fun, lushly orchestrated by this guy over here, and I'm really really proud of that thing, and I
me
hope
too.
More
it's
people give it a listen.
Yeah,
tell your friends.
Please do.
And are you on Twitter and the
I'm
social
on, yes,
medias?
Yeah, it's at Joel B. New across cool. the board: Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, Facebook, all the things.
And if you like us, you can check us out at SongSaladPodcast.com, which has links to our Twitter. At Song Salad Cast and our new Patreon page,
yes.
Song Patreon. Salad. Oh, patreon.com/songsalad.
Yes. And yep. Thank you to all of our new patrons. That's like super awesome that we've already exceeded our first goal. So we're still really grateful, and your support helps us do more cool things like this and getting Joel on the show. Because now we're like sort of a little bit more important, and so he'll come on the show and do cool things like this with us. So
we bribed him with pastries.
Yes. So.
Speaking of.
Okay, pastry time.
Pastry Great. Time. Yeah.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Joel.
And together we're Trinity.
One, two, three, four.